Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
You having a nice day.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, everybody, it's Barry from the What Podcast.
Hey, it's Russ.
Hey, it's Brian, and we are giving away two tickets to Bonnaroo 2024. These are GA Plus, and they include camping. Russ, how do people get qualified?
We want to hear your top artists to play on the Bonnaroo 2024 lineup.
Call 423-667-7877 and tell us who we should check out. It's the What Podcast. Thanks.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thank you, as always, for making your way here and checking out the episode and the series. Please do hit that subscribe button while you're hanging around. I put out three new interviews every single week, new and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones at iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And that's me. I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, talking with Youngblood about his new self-titled record, Dominic Harrison. We're going to be talking about the joy of the Midnight album release. He'll tell us about the way he used to do that for bands like the Arctic Monkeys, why he chose to self-title the record, the criticism one gets when getting more famous, and how those moments found their way into songs like Funeral. We're also going to discuss the conversational style of lyrics he wanted to do this round, sampling The Cure, channeling Radiohead and The Jam, and coming up alongside artists like Billie Eilish, Lil Nas X, and Mac Miller. It's all that and more. It's Kyle Meredith with Youngblood.
Hello, Kyle, mate. How are you?
Man, I'm great. And this has been seriously one of my favorite records that I've heard this year. It is so exciting what you're doing.
Yay.
On this album and the songs and everything. I know it's been a big lead up to it, but I just want to say first off, congratulations.
Oh, thank you so much, man. It makes me so happy to hear you say that. It's like, it's pretty weird that it's finally out in the world. You know what I mean? And people can do with what they will with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I know you've been doing a lot this week too. I mean, the release parties that have gone into this, playing the LA. Why the LA Strip? Why was that important for you to play? Because you did multiple shows, right?
I just think three shows in one night, live streamed all over the world, literally watching me cross the road to walk to the next venue is just something I always dreamed of. I think it's a bit of a vibe in it. You know what I mean?
Well, it's interesting the way you've made it an event to this whole thing. You don't see that as much anymore. I mean, maybe you do, but the way you've made it, it really reminds me of those midnight releases and everything, you know, everybody lined up at the store at midnight and you're kind of conjuring that. I mean, do you think about that, you know, When once the album drops, that midnight moment when everybody is listening to it at the same time?
Fully, man. That's how I used to listen to records. You know what I mean? I remember when the Arctic Monkeys had dropped, we'd like literally, I'd go to my mate's house and we'd sit and we'd like, you know what I mean, smoke a spliff and sit in my mate's room and just like listen to it once, not say anything to anybody, then listen to it again and then just chat about it till like 2, 3, 4 in the morning. You know what I mean? And I just think, like, I don't know, I just think music's about people, you know what I mean? I think I love that idea. That's why we did, like, we hit 9 cities in 5 days across America, did in-store shows, old school. I love bringing people together, and I love that music does that. So I think it was just really cool, you know what I mean? It was really cool to do that.
Well, you got the record, and the first thing that's sort of popped out to me was you went with the old self title on this one.
I did.
Yeah. What was the reason behind that?
I think I'm understanding what Youngblood is, not in terms of definition, because I think if you ever define Youngblood, like, it's over. You know what I mean? I think if it's defined by one thing, it's flawed. The idea of Youngblood is to express yourself without filter, to be who you are, even if you change, even if you want to grow, whatever that is. But the feeling of it, you know what I mean? The feeling that I get when I look them in the eye, when they come to the show, when they're lining up outside the venue for 2 days before I come, like, the feeling of that they give to each other. I always say that. I'm like, when you come see a Youngblood show, don't just watch me, watch them, watch the communication between them and the sense of freedom and the release, man. That's what's rare about it, I think. And I think I wanted to inject that spirit into this album. And I don't know, man, like, right now, nothing else makes sense. I was originally going to call it You Only Lose When You Stop Getting Up, but Youngblood says that. He says everything I want to say right now.
Well, the album says a lot all throughout it. And to open up with a song as powerful as The Funeral, which seems like it says its own thing. And I mean, you open up with The Funeral. Like, why did you want that to be the opening statement? And how does it set up the rest of the record?
It was actually the first song that came out. That's why I think, like, it kind of felt right more so than anything. It was like, I think when you're like just like deciding the sound of an album, you can't really decide it. You know what I mean? It's like, you can't be like, all right, the album's going to sound like this. You have ideas, but it's almost got to pick you. It's like that bit in Harry Potter, you know what I mean? Like, the one chooses the wizard, Mr. Potter. You know what I mean? It's like that. It's like, oh. And I went to my mates. I recorded this whole album in a bedroom in Glendale, by the way, which is pretty wild. And I went to my mates' house, and just this sound of... It just really resonated with what I was feeling at the time. The whole world had an opinion on me. Youngblood is getting so much bigger every day that a subculture that was like formed on love was being permeated by the mainstream, and the idea of like hate started to bleed into it, and questioning of authenticity, and everyone just had something to say about me. And I like to kick the bear me. You know what I mean? If the bear's biting me, I'm going to bite it back right on the ear. You know what I'm saying? And that feeling from the drum kit, it just felt like, all right, then come at me. And I had a feeling in my belly. And I was just like, right, then in this song, I'm going to list off everything I'm insecure about, because I want people to put this song on and know that if you come to terms with what you don't like about yourself, then nobody else can say nothing, because you take the power back. And it's like, I'm dancing at the kind of the lowest point in my life, the funeral. I'm literally at the end. But if I'm boogieing at it and I'm dancing and I'm shaking my hips at it, I don't mind if anyone turns up. I don't mind if 1,000 people turn up. I don't mind if no one turns up, because I'm all right with it. And I think that was a good place to start.
Well, and it's, I sort of, you know, when I listened to the record, I did think of it almost as an arc. And I don't know if you planned it like that, but to start with The Funeral and then to end with The Boy in the Black Dress. I mean, you talk about owning something. Did you consider it in that way, how that song even speaks to, you know, where you are at the end of the record?
That was it, man. I think, to be honest, as I say, like, I've never really sung about me that much. You know what I mean? It's like, it's always been about a specific thing with me records. It's been about like rights within gender, in Mars, and like sexual assault in Polygraph Eyes, and gentrification, I Love You Will You Marry Me, and, you know what I mean, Teenage Suicide and Super Dead Friends. It's always been about something specific. And I just thought it was about time to be like, all right, then I'm going to write about me. I'm terrified, but like, this community has given me an opportunity to feel loved and to feel protected by owning who I am, you know what I mean? And it's almost like a 3-minute song, being like, hello, this is me. I'm Dominic Harrison. I'm from the north of England. I'm 25 years old. I wear a skirt sometimes, and I fucking... And I've felt pain, and I've felt love, and I've felt abandonment, and I've felt betrayal, and I've felt energy, and I've felt acceptance. You know what I mean? And I think in that song, I wanted it to be almost like, in this world, people are going to ridicule you for telling the truth. because they're afraid of it. Because if you tell the truth, it forces them to face the truth too. And sometimes people don't want to face the truth. So I promise you, if you're out there and you're going through some kind of manipulation or being ridiculed or being oppressed for being who you are, I believe that it's to be who you are is the most beautiful thing in the world. And I promise you, the person who's ridiculing you for it is going through something themselves. That's why they're doing it. So don't let it get to you. Keep your head up.
It's surprising to me. Like, you also guessed it on Demi Lovato's Freak. And I was thinking about that in this. So much about what's going on in this generation feels like, you know, we're talking about mental health more than ever. We're talking about, you know, owning yourself in the public eye, you know, just being yourself. And it feels like it should feel normal by now. And, you know, I take that word freak again, but then again, why doesn't it?
I just think, like, I think it's the more people do it, the more people kick back. That's the point. You know what I mean? But I think with me, I think, like, that's the thing. It's tall poppy syndrome, isn't it? It gets that high and then it gets wanting to get cut down. And I think, like, I even felt that inspired a lot on this record. You know what I mean? I was like, the first two albums, it was so beautiful. It was like, after Weird went number one, it got a bit dark because you go to a place where, you know what I mean, you didn't really expect to go, where it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and people start to know it more, and what is surrounded by so much love, the other things start to get involved, and another concept start to get involved, and it kind of can be a bit trippy, can't it?
And we'll be right back right after this.
Welcome to Good for a Weekend, the podcast where two friends talk about Taylor Swift
and share your spicy confessions.
I'm Cressy Cornis.
And I'm MK Ashford.
Our third ever Swifty Confessions episode will be coming out on April 11th. It will be a very special episode because it's our 100th.
You have until April 1st to email us your Swifty Confessions to gfaweekend@gmail.com. Please include what you'd like to be called as well and your preferred pronouns.
And if you're a new Weekender, here's a quick explanation of what we're looking for in your Swifty Confession.
We want to hear your spiciest hot takes, embarrassing moments as a fan, unpopular opinions, hills that you would die on, your crazy fan theories, and anything else Taylor related that you'd like to confess to us.
Think of us as your specially appointed Swiftie therapist.
Did you weirdly like Taylor and Maddie Healy? Are you a me defender? Do you think 1989 is overrated? Are you a Joe Alwyn apologist? Whatever it is, we're listening.
We are accepting submissions now, right now. So be sure to send yours to gfaweekend@gmail.com by April 1st. All we ask is that you please include what you'd like us to call you as well as your preferred pronouns so we can discuss your confession properly.
And we're so excited to hear what you have to spill.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everybody, it's Barry from the What Podcast.
Hey, it's Russ.
Hey, it's Brian, and we are giving away two tickets to Bonnaroo 2024. These are GA Plus, and they include camping. Russ, how do people get qualified?
We want to hear your top artists to play on the Bonnaroo 2024 lineup.
Call 423-667-7877 and tell us who we should check out. It's the What Podcast. Thanks.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Youngblood. Well, I'll also say that the way you approached your lyrics, which I've always been a fan, but there seems to be something heightened going on in this. I mean, I think I Cry Too might be some of the best lyrics that you've ever pulled out.
Thank you.
Yeah. And just these lines, I mean, I'm just looking at random lines here. I mean, die for a night, you know, pain is a language I can read. And mad almost seems like a thesis at some points for the entire record. I don't know if you think that this closely about it, but how did you want to actually approach the lyrical side of this?
Can I tell you something? Everyone within my fan base really wraps around my lyrics. I think it's kind of almost like what people like the most about my songs is what I say, because I think it's all about the truth, even if it gets me in trouble. And I kind of like when people kind of say this to you a lot and really get the words tattooed on the body and take them with them through the life, there's a real responsibility. I don't want to let them down. So with this album, I was like, I really need to make sure that I'm pushing myself to write the best words that I got and to really put my soul into this record, because I owe it to everyone that listens to my music. You know what I mean? To like give them everything from me, you know? And I had just so much to say. Like one of my favorites is Die for a Night. Pain is a language I can read, so I'd rather remain illiterate tonight so I can sleep. I know it'll come out eventually, but can you show signs of weakness asymptomatically? All I want is a cigarette, but I realize I've got none left. I always wonder what it would be like if I would die for a night. Would anyone like it? Would anyone mind it if I could die for a night, but I don't know what I'm talking about? You know what I mean? When I read it like that, it just sounds like I'm talking to you. And I wanted these songs that I Cry To and Die for a Night and Cruel Kids almost to not, and Mad, almost to not be songs. They're almost like thoughts. It's like a 2-minute thought. It's like, yeah, it just reels straight out of my body onto a piece of paper and given. It's not about, I'm going to make a song now. It's like, okay, what am I feeling like? And I think that's why people resonate and connect with it. You know what I mean?
And even the moments where you hold up the mirror, I mean, Tissues, you know, the latest single, great video, by the way, but, you know, Everybody Wants to Be Adored. And that's, you know, a little throwback to some shoegaze, late 80s shoegaze in that line to me in that moment, you know. And
Fully. I think that I love that song. You know, I mean, it's so new wave. I'm obsessed with new wave. I'm obsessed with it.
Well, that's it. You called even, I think you said something about this song in this video. Of course, we have, you know, it's got the Cure sample in there. It's so awesome. But you said this is a new era. You know, what exactly do you mean with that?
I just think it was like, no one's seen me dance. No one's seen me move. And no one's, like, I think in art form, you know, I mean, you see it at the shows and you see the spirit. Like, again, I keep talking about the spirit of the community. That's what's in this album. It's like, the spirit of everything at the live show. And I just wanted to be like, I just want to dance, man. I just want to dance. I want like, suit. Like when I was writing that song, the session was just not good. I've been in for 6 hours and the studio just looked like a padded room to me. You know what I mean? I was like, no way. I hate this place. I was ready to call it. But then like, literally like, we just like, yo, let's have a cigarette outside, pick up some beers, and just like vibe out, you know what I mean? We've got the studio, it's sick, you know what I mean? Candles are on and that. And we'll just listen to some music. And then like, Cure Close to Me came on. And I just got up and I was just shaking my ass. And I was like, whoa, this needs to, I need to do a Youngblood song with this feeling. I need to just be able to, like, I felt like I was in Footloose or something. You know what I mean? I'm like bouncing about the studio. And I love that music can do that. Like from a room that felt like a padded psych ward got turned into like, I don't know, the Hacienda in Manchester. I was like, I am vibing. You know what I mean? And then I said to my producer, I was like, right, I was in with Paul Meany and Matty Schwartz and Chris Criotti. Paul Meany is in a band called Mute Math and did a lot of the new 21 Pilots stuff. And I said to Paul, I was like, right then, buy the song on iTunes and chop the sample and loop it. Put it in Logic and chop the sample and loop it forever. And he did. And I just went, put me in the booth. Feel left out. I was like, trying to be like, you know what I mean? Best Mick Jagger impersonation I could do. And then my mate started playing the line. Jake started playing the line. And his guitar tone sounded like Major Reptilia by The Strokes. And I was like, whoa, this is sick. So originally it was going to be like verse into a chorus like that. And then And then I was like, no, I need to sing that. And I had this line, I had this lyric written in my notebook. I'm in love again, but tomorrow I'll be sad. And that felt so like Susie Sue. It felt so big hair and lipstick and dark eyeliner. It felt so gothic, goth pop, you know what I mean? And I was, and then I just sung, can't keep holding my breath. God forbid you leave me like all the rest. I'm in love again and tomorrow I'll be sad. And everyone went, whoa, and it was over. And then, you know what I mean? There's so much in there. There's so much, like the jam. Dig it in, everybody wants to feel love. It felt like, dig it in, that's entertainment or something. You know what I mean? All those old records that I fell in love with, like Town Called Malice, like my alarm clock song, all those songs that I adore. Like me and my guitarist look to each other with tissues and we're like, we get to play this song forever.
You've made your own classic with that one.
Feels wild. It feels it'll be around forever, you know what I mean?
Those moments, I heard you talking about Radiohead too, and one of the songs, what was that, Cruel Kids? Like, I think you said, yeah, right, which you can't see it. Got to put Kid A poster right on the other side of the screen here. I mean, that's just...
You know, I mean, with all the reverse snares, is that, you know what I mean, as it opens up the album... Like all that stuff, wild, and the kind of the delays and the reverbs on the guitars that like are then reversed too. Like, that's what I want to do with it. Like, it's really a big homage to great British music, this album, I think.
And it's got another one of those lines, so many lines that I had to earmark where art is dead, killed by information. Like, that's. Yeah. That's it. That's like graffiti on a wall, you know, in the best way, in the best compliments.
Yeah, I think art is dead, killed by information. I feel so fucking frustrated because I'm guilty too. You know what I mean? I think like everything right now can be so based on a moment and based on a trend that nothing's going to, I feel like a lot of stuff's not going to last forever. You know what I mean? Like you think about hits last year, I can't remember them. I probably can sing them, but I can't remember them. Don't Light Me Alive. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's probably a lot of disposable stuff. And maybe that's always happening, but, you know, with just so much being pumped out at all times, how could most of it, you know, stick around?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I think, like, there's few artists out there, like, that I believe, like, are going to be around forever. But then I feel lucky to have come up with artists in this generation. I feel lucky to come up around Mac Miller, Lil Peep, Billie Eilish, Lil Nas X. Like, I really believe these artists said something and brought something into the world. You know what I mean? Like, and really formed their own culture. You know, I think it's exciting too. Amongst all the shit, there is some incredible, beautiful Post Malone, like, you know what I mean? Like, era defining artist too, you know.
Well, I certainly appreciate what you're doing as well on this one, and I'm looking forward to the live show. I hadn't even said, I think you're gonna be here in Louisville in a Louder Than Life festival, I believe, here in just a few
yeah
weeks,
that's gonna so. Be crazy, man.
Yeah, I'll be there. I'll be out there in the crowd on that one, so
I can't wait. I'll be mental. I'm excited to play the new ones live. It'll be wild.
Be looking for it. Dom, thank you so much for taking the time to talk about it. Again, congratulations on this new Youngblood
Thank
record.
Thank you, Kyle, man. Thank you so much, brother. Love it, man. Have a beautiful day.
My thanks to Youngblood. The new self-titled record is out now. Thanks to you as well for, again, checking out the episode and the series. Please do hit that subscribe button before you get out of here to keep up with all the interviews that we put out. New and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. At iTunes, Apple Podcast, at Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, or anywhere you get your podcasts from, subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Then after that, head over to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, an hour full of song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews. That's Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on the old social media spots, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all three of them. The address is at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Same, man. I'm buzzing. I'm fucking buzzing. Rocking.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.